So we'll get started. Last year we had our class really focused on what it meant to be a good husband and to be a good wife. And now that we've mastered that last year, we'll move on to the next step, which will be Orthodox parenting. Now, of course not. Of course we're still in that process, but it implies that we're working on that process of being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good Orthodox Christian, because really, my plan is to speak in three sections about really what does it mean to be an Orthodox parent. And really I want to speak about, first of all, what are we doing? Because we can't ask our kids to do anything until we have a clear vision of what our focus is. What are we doing? How are we living? Because kids sense hypocrisy immediately. Right? So if you say, do this, but I don't do it, they're not going to listen to you. Right? So the first step is kind of setting a tone for your own life, and then being on the same page with your spouse, and then implementing that, and then troubleshooting. So my plan is in three sessions. A, what's our vision alone? B, how do we live this life with consequences and all that? And then C, third session, like problems. How do we deal with problems? Right? I want to at least leave a lot of time for questions and answers about how do we do this. So a lot of folks, they can't come tonight. That's why I'm recording it. But I want to give you a little inspiration. St. John Chrysostom, who is really the author of our liturgy that we do most often, a great speaker about children. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, having children is a matter of nature. Anybody can do it. But raising them and educating them in the virtues is a matter of mind and will, O parents. So anybody can have a kid, but to raise them in holiness is a matter of virtue and our mind and our will. He said this also, quote, by the duty of raising them, I mean not only allowing them not to die of hunger, as people often limit their obligation towards their children to doing. For this is needed neither books nor rubrics, for nature speaks of it quite loudly. I am speaking of the concern for educating children's hearts in virtues and piety, a sacred duty which cannot be transgressed without thereby becoming guilty of the murder of your children in a certain sense. So his point is you can feed your children physical food and still murder them and their souls. He says this, if the apostle commands us to take more care for others than ourselves, and if we are guilty and we neglect their benefit, then it is not a much greater guilt when this concerns those who are so near to us and dear to us. Was it not I, the Lord will say to us, who gave place to these children in your family? Was it not I who entrusted them to your care, making you masters, guardians, and judges over them? I gave you complete authority over them. I placed all care for their upbringing in your hands. You will tell me that they did not want to bend their necks to the yoke, that they threw it off. But this should have been averted from the very beginning. You should have mastered their first impressions and placed the reins on them before they had the power to break away from you. It's pretty powerful. And the last quote I want to give is, the youth to whom you give a good upbringing will not only enjoy general respect, he will also become dearer to you than you can ever imagine. Your attachment to him will not be a mere natural attraction. It will be the fruit of his or her virtue. For this, during your old age, you will in turn receive from him the services of his love. He or she will be your support. For just as those who do not revere the Lord also have contempt for their own parents, those who love and revere God, the Father of all men, will have respect for those parents who gave them life. Pretty powerful quotes. I mean, I could read all night, from St. John Chrysostom, about the sacred obligation of raising children. He talks about how when we have children, they're a gift. And it's kind of like a sculptor who is given a block of stone. And he says, be careful how you carve, because you're not carving, this isn't a chance just for random carving. You need to carve masterpieces. because the Lord wants them in His museum, right? Among the saints. So if you carve something ugly, if you carve something ugly, then they will not be placed in the museum. But if you carve something beautiful, they can be placed in the museum, which St. John Chrysostom says is the kingdom of God. Right? So we do one of two things. Either we blame ourselves incessantly for our kids' failures, or we pass it off to somebody else. Right? It's just human nature, or it's just the world we live in, or they're both cop-outs, really. Right? So tonight, I could say a lot of things, but I want to talk about a couple things. First, before we begin to ask the question of, and I'm speaking, by the way, from my own experience, I'm talking to a number of priests over the years, I agonize over being a father. I agonize over it. If you watch me in service, if you watch me at home, I agonize over being a father to my children. I'll tell you a little bit back on myself. I did not have a good example. No, terrible example, in fact. My dear mother, God rest her soul, is a saint. I really think she's a saint. Did not have a good partner in my father. I have found that great fathers either come from incredible fathers or terrible ones. And that's okay. You know, and my father, I love him to this day. We're close, but he was never a good father. My mother, it was her and I, like this. And I thank my grandfather, who's, I talked to him this morning. He's almost 90 years old. He's a man's man. Fisherman, gets up every day at 3 a.m, goes clam digging, fishing, you know, on the New York coast every day. He was the one who whooped me when I need whooping, right? He was the one who I looked at and said, this man has total integrity. He would never tell a lie, never, never. I couldn't say that about my own dad. I couldn't look at his integrity as being something that I would want to emulate in some way. My dad's been married multiple times. I love him to pieces. He struggles, as we all do. But my grandfather was really a rock for me. So my point in saying that is to say this, that I don't come from some incredible home where everything was perfect. And you can look at this and say, well, yeah, Father Justin came from some perfect home and he gets it, but I came from some brokenness. Believe me, I came from brokenness. Really. And I know all about it. And my wife comes from the opposite. My wife's family is about the most harmonious, beautiful thing you can imagine. I mean, it shocked me when I was like, she came to my house the first time in New York, and she's like, why is everyone yelling? I was like, what? We're just talking. This is how we communicate, you know? This is New York, you know what I mean? And her family's the opposite. Like, no one really says what they really think, right? So everyone's tiptoeing around each other, which is maybe equally dangerous in its own way, right? But very beautiful. I mean, her father is an amazing man. Not Orthodox, but a singularly amazing, loving, patriarchal kind of man. And my mother-in-law the same way. And they did a great job. My wife and her two siblings are really wonderful people. And over the years of being a priest, and I did counseling before, and being a school teacher, I have an interesting idea of what it means to be a parent. It really is the most sacred thing we're ever going to embark upon. And really, it's secondary to our marriage. Let me back up a little bit. Our marriage is first insofar as it builds a foundation for us to be good parents. But before the eyes of God, we're going to answer a lot more of how we raised our children than how we interact in our marriage. It's a given. I mean, the Lord says it's a given that we're going to be one with our spouse and raise our kids in a beautiful way. And yet, look around you. A few months ago, I was driving to church, coming this way, down the street from the church, and I saw a boy, sweet little boy, being smacked, beaten, tossed across the street by a man who was clearly not his father. I won't say why I know that, but not his father. He was African-American kid, African-American guy, Mexican kid, not his dad, right? But beating the kid, kicking him across the street. And I was sick. I was sick right here in front of the church, and I was like fit to be tied. Like, I'm going to beat the heck out of this guy. Right? And I would have if I got close enough. Priest or no priest. You know, and I couldn't believe that people in the crosswalk did nothing. Nothing. Down the street, gets on the bus in front of the YWCA right here. I went in there and found out, I found the mama, found everyone, the whole thing. I went from the 6 hours of nightmare to deal with that poor kid. You should have seen his tears. I mean, it broke my heart to watch this kid just kind of being beaten the whole way. And you might go, I would never do that to my kid. Really? It really had a deep, deep impact on me that, you know, every move we make with our kids has a deep impact. Really. As a priest, has a deep impact. I mean, being a priest is a terrible thing. Why? Because every word of myself, Father Paul, can raise you to paradise. Or if having a bad day, can just cast you down to hell. We can't afford to have a bad day. We really can't. If we have a bad day, we shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be hearing your confession, shouldn't be with you, shouldn't be interacting with you in any way. And parents, I hate to break it to you, it's the same. It's the same. So when my wife has her freak out days, which she has, I say, you may not let your insanity infect our children. I said this to myself, by the way. I say, I get up, I'm grumpy. I said, you may not, Father Justin, let your insanity affect these dear ones. And I have 7 of them running around. You are their norm. You are what reality is to them. You realize that? I think the first step really in this whole process for parents is to realize where you're at. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Is let's be really clear where we're at. Let's get real about our own upbringing. I have found that it's a rare person that was brought up well, unfortunately, in our days, that was brought up with fear of God, with a desire for virtue, desire for virginity and holiness, and would never speak back to their parents, and looks back on their childhood with only deep respect for their parents. How many of you is that? Raise your hands, please, if that's you. You know, right? I mean, I know a lot of you, and you have virtuous parents, right? Nevertheless, there's still struggle in there, right? There's still sin and struggle in there. And then you have all the other, right, titrations and variations of that. So the first step is to realize that we are wounded. We're messed up. And that we have to get our house in order before we can begin to raise our kids. A very normal human thing to do is to get excited and be like, yep, we're going to raise our kids. They're going to act this way, so and so. Even though the guy himself doesn't act that way. Or a gal says, no, we're going to get order in the house. Order, order. Because she is so, or he or she is so craving order in their own life, and they can't do it. They can't control their own desires. So they figure, well, at least I'll apply it to those I can control. My own kids. Right? We're all control freaks. So I'm not saying it's the way to be a saint until you parent your kids. You'd be waiting all your whole life, right? Nevertheless, it has to begin. That's my point. So I think making an honest assessment in your own life, I can look at my life and say, you know what? I didn't have a great example in lots of ways. I'm not terribly pleased with how I was raised. I'm thankful that I became an Orthodox Christian. I'm thankful that I'm standing here now with you and that we're all here together. But I can say there was many stumbles along the way, and I would not want my own kids to repeat it. Would you agree with that? Every generation should want your kids better than ourselves, right? I mean, I never want my kids to know what I know. You agree with that? I never want my kids to know the music that I used to like. I never want my kids to know the passions that used to rule my heart. Never. Never. God forbid. But I have to be honest about this. There's a part of us that struggles with that. Let me explain what I mean. Most of us here in this is a small gathering, we've repented for our life. And we say, I don't want to listen to that terrible music anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live a life in the church. I want to be serious. I want to be holy. I don't want to look at those terrible movies. Or I don't want to do that anymore. Nevertheless, I'm really struck by the fact how every single one of my own children's problems or phobias or anything comes from me. You ever seen that? You ever seen your kid and go, oh my gosh, that's me? I've seen it lots of times. My wife said the same thing to me, you know, and it's scary. We should take full responsibility for it. We should say, I want my kids better than me. But here's a dangerous thing. I find often we say, well, we take certain parts of our life and we glorify them, even sinful parts of our life. And we say, well, that's part of my childhood. Let me give you an example. Halloween, right? Well, I couldn't live without it as a kid. How can my kids possibly live without it? They can. But you kind of are living through them, so you want them to dress up, so you make them go through the same thing. That's a tiny thing. Let's say it's sports if you're a guy. I was a huge sports guy. I played every sport you can imagine, so on and so on. It kills me not to, I mean, I have like Amazon women daughters, right? Like my dad tells me every day, like, you can have a WNBA team, right? Like, I mean, my dad's super athletic and super like, I'm like, we're not doing that. What do you mean you're not doing that? You're wasting them. I said, I'm not going to do that to them. I was the kind of guy which was that you had to throw 500 strikes before you went to sleep at night. Baseball. You have to make 100 free throws before you go to sleep. It was a good drive, but I'm not going to do it to them unless they want it to be them. Does that make sense? And so what I find is that talking to parents in confession is that there's these parts of our hearts that we haven't relinquished yet, and we send their children on those paths too. This is what health is. This is what normalcy is, right? But look at yourself and say, oh, well, I turned out fine. Did you? That's a really important question. How did you turn out? Your answer should be screwed up. That should be your answer. Honestly, I turned out screwed up, and I do not want them to follow me. I mean, unless you're living saint among this group, I hope that's our mentality, right? So the answer is, step back and look at your own life and say, how am I leading them with sentimentality? Does that make sense? I know lots of dads who say, my kid's going to t-ball. My kid's going to soccer. My kid's playing music. My kid's, not because it's the drive of their heart or because it's healthy for their soul, but because that's what I did and they're going to do it too. Oh, well, Father Justin, I did jazz dance and I turned out great. Really? Because in your confession, you're talking about lust and pride and how all this problem with like your spandex pants and all this kind of stuff. And now you're driving your daughter into the same darn thing. How dare you say that, Father Justin? A jazz dance is fine. I'm just picking it out of the blue, right? I could easily pick karate or anything else. I'm not saying any of those things are bad, by the way. I'm not saying that because those can be healthy things. Like it can be sports. I love sports. I think they're good for team building. Anything. My question is that them desiring it? Or are you pushing them thinking that it's going to be healthy? Does that make sense? So everything they do, what they listen to, what they do for activities, the friends they hang out with, you got to be thinking, is this going to save their soul? And I think we have huge blind spots. I found it as a priest. We just go, well, that's okay. I did that. It's okay. They did Girl Scouts. That's fine. Yeah, Girl Scouts are all Mormon. And by the way, in Utah, so is Boy Scouts. 15 years ago, I moved here. The first job I applied for was like, I was an Eagle Scout most. I was a Life Scout. I'll apply for a job with the Boy Scouts. You're laughing because you know what I don't know, which is that in New York, it's not religious. I apply, it's like the record skipped and I walked in with my beard, right? Like, what ward do you go to? Ward? I don't know what that word means. A cancer ward? I don't know what that word means. I don't know what that word means. So the point was that, oh, okay, I found out Boy Scouts is a Mormon thing, right? And I don't know that. And so the point is, you have to be so vigilant over watching your kids, everything they do. One holy abbess told me, whenever you put your kids into, imagine they take it to the furthest extent, can they be holy? So for instance, ballet. You think ballet is innocent? You're wrong. My sister-in-law went to Juilliard. Sarah from his sister. Juilliard went to a fine arts high school called Interlochen, which is in Michigan, was away from high school, from her parents, went to Juilliard, she danced San Francisco Ballet, all these incredible places. If you ask her, do you think ballet is a good career for kids? No, keep them away from it. Why? Frankly, because everyone's anorexic, all the males are homosexual, everyone is screwed up, And it's totally based on odd. I mean, Becca, she's danced in that world, you know, and actually pretty close to my sister-in-law in some ways. There's exceptions to this rule. But this is a person who's not a Christian, not necessarily an Orthodox Christian, anything, telling me, who says, this is not a safe world. Right? So my girl's playing violin. I trust it. You say, I'm going to be a violinist my whole life. Can you still be an Orthodox Christian and virtuous and love God and be a violinist? Yes, you can. But interestingly enough, I asked my spiritual father, what instruments should my boys learn? He said, not guitar. I said, why? He says, you want them to smoke pot and listen to Led Zeppelin? He's right. He says, put them on the cello. Put them on something else. Which we're elevating the souls of our children better than us. I'm the one that plays guitar. Poorly. I don't smoke pot. I don't do those things. My point is simply that, like, I'm the one that's poor at that. May they... I don't know if they have this in Serbian, this word. It's in Russian, they say it. May your children be better than you. Many cultures have this. I mean, Arabic, they say, may our children be better. It's a toast. May our children be better than us. Right? That's an important toast. So I want to level the playing field at the beginning of this whole thing, which is let's be real honest about our own sinfulness. Let's be real honest about our own history and not just throw it onto our kids because that's what we did. It must be okay. No, it's not okay. Right? Let's not take anything for granted. Let's have a clean slate. Okay? That's a really important point. So the question at the beginning of this whole thing is, what are we doing? Your wife gets pregnant. Oh, boy. Right? You have a new baby coming. You have no idea what you're doing. Is there a handbook for this? Don't give me the what to expect when you're expecting handbook. Right? It doesn't get you ready for anything. Right? I mean, it's insanity. I wasn't ready for 1 or 8. We have to look at this in very Christian eyes. Only with God's help can we make this. Without God, this is insanity. This is totally an insane proposition. I understand those folks who say, I don't want to have kids. I just want to be with my friend, my girlfriend, or boyfriend, have fun, travel, and just do our own thing and just be selfish. I get that from a human perspective. But if you want to be a Christian, and you want to break down your own sinfulness and carry a cross, you have children. You let God give you the gift of children. It's really a gift. And this speaks to something else, which is that a very sinful part of our nature is, oh, I'm going to decide when God gives us children. I have to speak honestly with you about the history of the church, about this and the saints. Who are we to decide when God gives blessings? Maybe you're having a hard time right now. You come in the church and say, God, please bless me, please. And God says, yes, I will send you a child. Oh, actually, no. I don't want that right now, but maybe like 6 months from now, if that's good for you. Maybe right now we can't really handle that financially, and we just can't do that right now. Are you kidding me? And yet people do that to God. I'm serious. I'll tell you, by the way, people that they avoid children with birth control, number of things, they say, I don't want children, whatever. And they want children. You know what happens often? They can't have them. They can't have them. And they weep over them. And don't get me started with abortion and with killing children. You know, I mean, I'm the one that has to hear the women that come to me screaming, crying, saying they're having nightmares of unborn children screaming at them at night. Right? Which, by the way, is alleviated by confessing those sins. If a woman confesses those things go away. But the point is simply, these are a great gift to us, a great blessing, and a great burden, I would say, having these children. So, God gives you children. Almost all of us have them. You guys aren't even married yet. I haven't baptized you yet and married you in the church, but it's coming. I'm meek about that. But the point is that if you think you can make it without being in the same page, you're wrong. Not 2/3, 3/4 of marriages end in divorce nowadays. It's insane. So unless you have Christ in the church, like, let's say you're fighting, having a hard time, right? Andrew will come to me for confession. His wife, Katina, will come to me. You can't humble yourself to each other, but you humble yourself to the church. You see? Same with everyone, right? Michael and your wife. I mean, all of us. that there's a common humbling point. You're both striving for the same thing, right? And that's really my strongest point for tonight, which is that you have to be very clear in your life what your goals are. Because we can't begin to take the next step and say, I want to form my child in this way. I want them to live this way. Until it's clear, what does this way mean? And if you and your wife have a different idea of it, you're in trouble. Right? You're in big trouble. So the question is, what is the yearning of your heart? My hope is that it's like you want your child, of course we're going to feed them well, fat and happy, great, when they're young at least, right? And we want them to be successful, have a good education, of course, all those things. But above all those things should be, we want them above all to love God and to love the church and to love purity and to love chastity. You want your children to have in their minds that they can't imagine not getting married unless they're virgins, right? It has to be in your mind that, of course, I mean, it's a given that you're raising kids that would never consider that unless they're going to marry someone. That they would never consider sharing their life with someone who doesn't love this church, right? I think you have to raise them. But the question is, do you believe that? That's a serious question, right? If you don't believe it, there's no way they're going to believe. Even if you do believe it, you're going to have a hard enough time living it, giving it to them, right? But it's essential that you in your heart first and your spouse are on the same page. What's your expectations of your children? You expect Nobel Prize winners? Great. But I'd rather have a pious, humble, pure daughter who loves God, who marries a plumber, who loves God, lives a life like that, that never becomes famous, but that loves God. We've been duped in our, I mean, most of us are my generation here, a little bit, maybe give or take a little bit. No, they need to be scientists, they need to be amazing, they need to be everything. Really? I went to college and all I have is like debt that I'll pay off when I die. Right? And temptations that I probably never would learn anywhere else. Right? I do not care if my kids go to college. Let me repeat that. I don't care. Now, my boys better have a trade. They better be... My requirement for leave the house is they better know how to do plumbing, woodworking, something. My girls, they want to go to college, they can do whatever they want. My kids, whatever they want to do, I don't care if they go to college. My point is that it's not like you go to college and you become a saint. Right? Be very, very careful and guard their souls. My boys, I want to send them to an Orthodox college. Right? My girls, if they wanted to get married young and married to an Orthodox guy, great. Not married immature, but married young, great. Right? Be very careful about that. So we want to prepare them for a life of holiness. Prepare them for a normal life. And here's the real question. What is normal life? Right? Sinisha, do you want your kids to be raised like you and I? Probably not. Probably not. And I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying, I grew up in New York. I know you. I know you. I know you. I know every single one of these dads here. Do you want your kid to be like you? Do you want your son to be better than you? Yeah, a whole lot better than you. And that's not insulting. That's loving, right? I mean, imagine if every parent thinks every generation is going up, rather than what seems to be happening, which is like going down, lowering the standards in some sense. So I would ask you all to have an honest reset of your heart. Okay, where are we at now? Now, are we saints now? No. I mean, we have a long road, all of us. Myself as a priest, but I have to be honest. Okay, I know where I want to go. I'm not there yet. But I can't wait to become a saint until my kids are, until I have kids. We already have kids, right? We have kids now. So what do we do right now? First of all, repent in your own heart. If you're not a person that loves confession, if you're not a person that comes to confession, that is trying to pray every day, I'm not saying perfectly, but trying, how can you ask your kids to try anything we're going to talk about in the next class? If you say, have integrity. Be honest. Come on, follow through. Don't be lazy. Don't be a list. And you're those things? Kids are going to go, forget it. Right? Kids do what they see, not what they hear. Right? Very, very important. Same with, by the way, with priests. You will do what you see me do. Not what I talk about. I could talk all day long, and I can do it, as you know. But unless my life accords with that in some way, I think the reason, God protect me, the reason why we have a close relationship is that I think you see that the things I say is the thing I'm trying to do. Right? That's why we're close as a parish. And kids are even more like that. Even if you make mistakes, which you're going to make many mistakes as a parent, if you're trying, and if you're following, getting up, if they see you at your icon corner, if they see you kneeling in prayer, if they see you getting up when you're tired and going like, oh, I'm tired, but I'm getting out of bed, if they see you dragging yourself to church, they see you in confession with the priest, if they see you, they say, believe me, I want to be like that. I can't tell you how much your dads, you can't imagine how much your kids want to be like you. I hear it in confession all the time. They won't tell you this. I want to be just like my dad. Even if you're a total screw up. That's pretty humbling. You know, I mean, my kids, I mean, we had Thanksgiving Day. We did toasts. And you know, all my kids toasted me. And I thought, they got the wrong guy. They got the wrong guy. They really they missed the boat here. You know, they really talking about, they should be toasting my wife. Really. You know, well, there's some bumper sticker that says, may I be the man that my dog thinks I am? Have you seen that bumper sticker? It says, may I be the man that my dog thinks I am? I would go further, may I be the man that my child thinks I am? Imagine if we lived that way, you know? And with women, it's the same. The children, they worship the ground you walk upon. Even when you make mistakes, even when you hurt them, even when you scream at them, even when you lose your temper, when you smack them, all these things, they come crawling back to you because you are their reality. That breaks your heart, doesn't it? Think about, I mean, every mom has lost their temper with their kids, has freaked out and felt horrible, and your kids are right there going, love you, Mom, love you. And it's beautiful, and it's also terrible. Isn't it a terrible feeling? You go, huh? By the way, at the mercy of God, by the way, they teach us what true forgiveness is, right? True forgiveness, true loyalty, what it is. But we have to really let it elevate our game, so to speak, and say, I want to be worthy of this love. I want to be worthy of this kind of respect, right? Pretty amazing. So let's begin. Let's make sure just at the outset, let's all be going to confession. Let's all be getting baptized. I'm half joking, but I'm not. I'm saying, unless you have a serious focus, laser beam. Because if you're a mom and you're still obsessed about how your butt looks in yoga pants, how can you expect your daughter not to have the same obsession? I'm serious. If you are still a wife who thinks about what other guys think about you, you can be sure your daughters have the same struggle. Men. You're not immune from this. If you're still worried if you're attractive to gals, that's a guaranteed prescription for your son to struggle with lust. I have seen it, a mystical connection. The husbands who deeply overcome lust, pornography, masturbation, all this kind of stuff, I hear the confessions of the dads and the sons. The sons don't struggle with this nearly as much. But it's an immediate link. The dads who don't overcome it, don't shove against it, without even knowing it, only I know, their kids struggle with it. There's a mystical connection in your family. Right? So what you do matters. Like controlling yourself, being all these things. Like if you say, oh, I'm a serious dad, I love, yeah, but in your mind, in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm in the club. Right? I'm not joking. You know what I'm talking about. Don't give me this church nonsense. You know your temptations. You think I'm joking? Every man knows what I'm talking about when the world steals your heart and you go there, and if you think, oh, it'd be so important for my child to have this experience, wrong. Wrong. That part of your heart should go, oh boy. The joyous part of our life is being together. And we're together on Pascha, and we're singing Pascha songs, and we're eating, and we're drinking. By the way, there's nothing wrong with, let me be very clear about this. Nothing wrong with us being together as a church family, or being with your own family, and singing Paschal songs, singing Christmas songs, having a couple of drinks, eating, being together, having sexual relations with your wife, and being unified with her. Nothing is sinful about these things. You see? But we've been robbed of normalcy. Does that make sense? And so part of Orthodox Christianity is to return you to normalcy, but fun and sin are very close together for most of us. Does that make sense? And so trying to learn what fun, true joy is, with and removing the sin, that's what you want to carry down to your kids. Does that make sense? Right? So what music do you listen to? What movies do you watch? Because if you tell your kids, oh, only listen to good stuff, do this, and they get in the car and they hear your music, oh, that's kind of like making me feel like I want to gyrate my hips, right? Don't do that. Don't do that. What are you doing? Well, I heard it in your car, Mom. Because you're still obsessed with how your butt looks. I'm being really clear and really honest. I have so many moms who go, I can't believe my 14-year-old daughter like wants guys to like her and she's making out with boys. They go, really? Because I hear all your confessions. Really? You see what I'm saying? Because you have not been a 14-year-old girl too. Forgive me. And guys, the same thing. Right? My son, I can't believe I can't believe he would do something like that. Really? I hear your confessions. You watch this, you do that, you listen to that, you drink until you pass out, and you expect your son to do better than you? I really want to just nail the point home that the beginning point here, and I have 7 children, maybe you have none, is that, okay, let's reset right now. Let's make a promise to God that we're going to become the best version of ourselves. It's not joyless, by the way. I'm not saying to raise Amish kids. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, I don't mind if kids play sports or dance or anything, but the question is, are they doing it in a way that can save their souls? That makes sense? Really, really important. And the next point I want to make tonight is, you have to be on the same page as your spouse. I have found a huge problem in parenting is that one of the two has a great vision for it, and the other one is not on board. Not on board. Oh, you're so tight. You're so tight. Just give him a break. Come on. What's the big deal? What's the big deal if they kiss that boy? What's the big deal? You know, what's the big deal if they go and listen to me? What's the big deal if they go with that friend? You see? And by the way, kids are masters at sniffing out division. It's called the divide and conquer method. It's a math. By the way, divide and conquer is a math term about how to solve certain equations. But kids use it with parents. Divide and conquer. My Nina, last night, we had our family picture today. Family picture today for our Christmas card. She comes this morning. She comes to me and says, can I wear this dress? And I go, looks fine. In my mind, I go, looks fine to me. But I mean, I'm like a blind person, right? And she goes, I said, well, what did Mama say? Mama said, I have to go take it off and I can't ask anybody else. Really? Well, don't even think about asking me. And she got in trouble for that, for trying to go behind Mama's back. You see, kids are masters divide and conquer. When we first got married, I didn't know that trick, right? But now I know. I say, what did Mama say? Well, right? So, same page. But that implies you actually agree, because if you don't agree, bitterness builds up. Bitterness builds up. I know lots of guys who are overly harsh, kind of like, you know, what's the word? Chauvinistic and tough. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And the wife quietly agrees to it, but in her heart of hearts, she thinks, oh, you're screwing our kids up. You're screwing our kids up. Or vice versa, right? You must be on the same page. If you want to have holy kids, you must have a good marriage where you talk to each other, where you respect each other. It gets back to that good wife. Why I spent all last, my 3-year plan was this, to get to this point and say, okay, what is a good wife? What is a good husband? Because you can't even begin to raise your kids in holiness if you don't have a clear vision of where you're going, where you're going. So please, in addition to your own spiritual life, go into confession, receiving Holy Communion. By the way, it's not okay for one member of the family to receive communion. It's a family affair, right? You want to inspire your kid, Dad? Saturday night, get in line. Let your son or your daughter see you confessing to the priest on your knees in humility and doing this. Because later I'm going to tell you, next class, I'm going to say, you're going to have your kids very humble and say, what did I tell you? Unless they see you doing the same thing, they'll never follow you. They sense hypocrisy. They'll go, you don't even do that, so why would I do that? Oof. That hurts. When your kids hit you in the groin like that, it hurts. Right? Like, well, you said get out of bed early, but I never see you get out of bed early. Oof. Right. Make sense? So, my real focus for tonight is to say, what is the yearning of your own hearts? And repent about that. Really ask yourself, I want you to devoid yourself of worldly stuff. Really try to take a look at yourself, how much you're in love with worldly music, worldly movies. Not just world, but dangerous stuff. Because ask yourself the question, when you're enjoying something, would you be okay with your son or daughter enjoying this? And the answer I find often is, no way. That's a disjoint, right? It's a disjoint. You say, no. When I go to the Serbian church, Sinisha, and I sit into the kolo dance, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're being together, or the Greek dancing, I go, I would be perfectly fine with my kids doing that. That's true joy. That's the Shire. That's the Lord of the Rings Shire. It's true Hobbit joy, right? Being together with family, being with friends, playing bluegrass music, eating and drinking and dancing and normalcy, worshiping Christ. That's normalcy in some sense. Are they done this? Okay. Oh, downstairs. I'll be almost done. Yeah. Thank you. You keep them down. You keep the kids down until we're done. So we're almost done. So really, let's first begin tonight by saying let's repent of the things in our hearts that are very worldly. Right? Let's really ask ourselves, let's not carry with us in this process baggage. And that's a really hard thing to acknowledge that. You know, I was joking with Jim tonight. David. It's fitting somehow in this thing. I was with a family that was struggling, and I was sitting with a dad, and we were talking, and this dad loves Led Zeppelin. So he was playing this Going to California, right? And so I saw David come out of in the parking lot, and he said, I'm going to turn it all the way and see if David responds. I turned it all the way, and I saw David, his ears perked up, and he went right back into the church, and I thought, oh, he didn't hear it. And I asked him to hear it. He said, I heard it. I went the other way. Right? But your ears easily could have gone the other way. Right? Or let's be honest. Let's be real. And that's nothing even wrong with that necessarily. My point is simply, the Lord says, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. So if your treasure is in simplicity and holiness and a simple, good life, your kids will follow you. But if you try to put this on and be like, hey, act this way, do this, have these consequences, live this way, but your life doesn't accord with it, don't even bother making a beginning. That makes sense? Don't even bother making a beginning. And second big point tonight, be on the same page with your spouse. Talk about these things. Talk about what's the fallout of them going to this activity. Are we on the same page about it? Get on the same page. Come talk to me. Argue with me. Right? Let's get on the same page about it. Because this is the last thing I want to say tonight, is that you do not want to do all this hard work and have it be blown in one moment. I will tell you, I've seen families who have labored over the virtue of their children only to have it be blown in a very short time. If your kids are in school, you should know who their friends are, who they're hanging out with, who they're spending time with. They should never have unaccountable time, ever. And if you're a guy, I mean, if you're a human being, you know, I know that it was a good thing. My mom, God rest her soul, I hated how much she knew where I was. I hated it. I'm so thankful now. God, thank God. At the time, I hated it. She knew who I was hanging out with, what food I was eating, everything. Right? If my friend was smoking cigarettes, she could smell it on my jacket. Right? The first time I came home after smoking a cigarette, she smelled it on me and beat the heck out of me. Right? Like, I'm so... at that time, I go, oh, she's so strict. I hate this. But it saved me from so much sin. Really. Does that make sense? So, being on the same page. But you know what? And having friends, by the way, who share the same desire. So it's important that your kids go to public school, etc. They have friends here in church who strive for the same thing, who want the kingdom of God, who do these things. Because you can labor all you want and labor for holiness and this and that, and you can let them go without being careful to a group of friends at ballet class or basketball class or whatever it is, and in 10 minutes, they can undo everything you're doing. They can convince your child that they're homosexual. They can convince your child that they need to kill themselves. I had a priest friend recently who had a 7-year-old child in this parish hang himself in the parish. Normal family, vigilant family, who let their son go to an activity. I won't say what it was, like a martial art activity. All of a sudden, a new group of peers were with him. He was weak. Parents thought, it's healthy. It's normal. I mean, I did karate when I was a kid. It's normal, right? Let him go. New group of friends. Next thing you know, he didn't have internet access. His friends did on their iPad. How do you even know how to kill yourself when you're 7 years old? Well, YouTube can tell you. And the kid figured it out. Holy family. Good family. Can you imagine how they feel? I can't emphasize enough how important it is that you watch every move they make, every breath they take, how they act, who they're spending time with, believe me. And I'll end with this. I am a firm believer that your children should never spend the night at anyone else's house. So if you invite my kids to a sleepover, the answer will be no every time. You want to know why? Before I was a priest, I was a counselor for sex offenders. Do you know what? Over 90% of initial sex offenses happen on sleepovers. And it's not the dad. It's the brother who also has sleepovers with his buddies over. I can't tell you the damage that takes place. And by the way, at sleepovers, after midnight, nothing good takes place, right? Ouija board, demonic stuff, bad things happen, nothing good. And by the way, in the Orthodox countries, like in Greece and the places, I asked the abbess, the monastery, she goes, this is weird to me. Sleepovers? We don't have these in Greece. You can go out all night with your friends, but you come back and you sleep in your own bed. So I can't make you do what you're going to do. And here's the deal. Well, I had sleepovers. It was fun. By the way, I always wanted to sleep over my friends' houses. And you know why? I always wanted to do this stupid crap. I wanted to stay up all night. I wanted to go egg houses during Halloween. This is the kind of stupid thing that I wanted to do. It was never virtuous. I was like, I want to just sleep with my friends so we can pray to God and we can get up and also worship God together as well. I mean, are you joking? Like, I had zero good reason. It was only like, what stupid thing can we do? And don't tell me that girls are different. I know they're not. Right? So, this is my personal opinion as a parent, and I want to share it with you, that I encourage you to do it. Don't let your kids do sleepovers. If you do it, I'm not gonna judge you. I'm gonna worry about you, right? I'm really gonna worry about you. So, my last message really tonight is: what is your own heart telling you? What are the yearnings of your heart? Get the yearnings of your own heart in order, and make sure the yearnings for holy things. Two, talk to your spouse about what that is. What's the vision for your life? What is healthy life and holiness look like? And it might mean a real change for you. It might mean sacrificing some things that are dear to you so that those kids aren't tempted by that. And three, be willing to like do whatever it takes to create that vision for your children. Right? So next week, so we have two more sessions. I want to speak about next week, real practical. What does this look like? Right? How do we live? What are our standards? How do we discipline our kids? What are our rules? Things like that, right? Real practical and time for question and answer. And then session three, I want to speak about problem solving. Let's say the best plan in the world in order and it's not working and they're freaking out and they're smacking themselves in the face and they're breaking their own glasses or they're screaming like you're beating them to death or they tell you they're going to call the cops if you give them a punishment or whatever, you know, I've heard it all, right? What do we do in those situations like that? So I recognize that 3 classes is wildly inadequate. My hope is the first class to inspire you to holiness, to unity with your spouse, and to really being dedicated to this process. I will tell you, I am no expert, but my wife and I, she just walked in, we agonize over this process. I'm not only like the parent, I'm also the spiritual father of my own children, which is very rare. They come to me and tell me everything. And I often have tears. They come to me at night. I don't get much sleep at night because I go fall asleep. Victoria is like, Papa, can I ask you a question? I'm so thankful for that. But I see every single one of their struggles in myself. And it breaks my heart. And makes me want to be better. Right? So let's be dedicated from this beginning. Let's be dedicated to a life of holiness. A life of unity with our spouse. A life in the church. Next week, we're going to get really brass tacks. Like, what is your family rules? What's the consequence if you don't follow through? What does it look like if you lie? What does it look like if you steal? What does it look like when you're family prayer time, right? Real brass tacks. And then again, the third session will be more problem solving. What do we do when this great idea falls apart? Does that make sense? Or what do we do when our kids are grown? Mostly we have grandkids. We talk a lot about that. Is this helpful? I hope. I wish it was a bigger group because we have a lot of kids in the church and not a lot of parents here right now. Right? So my hope is that please inspire the other parents. Tell them to come, please, because I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not going to... No, it's really the most important work we're going to do. Why don't we stand and say a prayer together?
It is truly meet and blessed, the Theotokos, who are blessed in all blameless, the mother of our God, more honored woman than cherubim, more glorious beyond compared to the seraphim. Thou without corruption bearest God the Word, and art truly Theotokos, who magnify thee. May God have compassion upon us and bless us. May he bless our children and lead them to the heavenly kingdom, for your holy to the ages of ages. Amen.
Thank you guys for your time. God bless you.